Griffin Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 20th on the West Coast, now May the 21st on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and on BlogTalkRadio.com on the Internet. Well, as has been my pattern or habit, almost predictable, over the past few months, I have been opening the show with a particular topic of interest to most people around the world, and sometimes I even play a clip, an audio clip, that gives a certain perspective of such a topic, or I play a clip that sets up the dialogue that I regularly have with my guests. And tonight, instead of starting out like that, I'm going to bring tonight's guest right to the microphone at the top of the show. He hosts his own show called Zero Point on BBSRadio.com, which is heard every second Saturday. And he has just written a book, which is published and available. And I'm almost finished with it myself. I promised him I would be doing a review, and I have every intention to do that. The book is called The Heart Doctrine, Mystical Views of the Origin and Nature of Human Consciousness. And the perspective that this book brings to what we talk about often on this show is very unique, very profound, and worth understanding, because it gives you the eyes and the ears to listen with your heart and really pay attention to what's going on in the world. Listening to the media talk about the current events, all the tragedies that are occurring around the world, or not talking about it, certainly comes through to the heart. And you can basically discern the truth the first time you hear it. Instead of going on a rampage of fear and shooting emails all over the world to all your friends and relatives, if you pay attention to what's being said, you can see the lies in real time. And tonight's guest and I are hopefully going to talk about that and the deception that's used to divert and control your consciousness or to prevent you from being conscious. I welcome back to Evident Footprints, second time this month, my good friend Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. Thanks very much for having me back on. And that's quite an effort to get through the book, Don. It's not a light read. It's a complex work, and that's great that you've managed to work your way through it so much.
Well, And I've been busy, but I've been setting aside time to read it. It's compelling, especially, you know, because it touches upon so much of what I studied, you know, 30, 40 years ago, actually, on my own. And you're bringing back a lot of memories, and I know that many of the things that you've written are there for that purpose. To awaken something within us, either that we've been exposed to or to present an alternative viewpoint from outside the box, as we say. And I really am, I'm going to enjoy doing a review. But the problem I'm going to have is keeping it concise and to the point, because there's just so much to talk about, to praise the work that you've done, actually. So.
Well, I sent it to you in particular because when I would hear your shows, I thought you were someone centered in the heart who spoke from the heart so that you'd naturally see the importance of it and understand it and be open to it.
Well, you know, I appreciate that view, that perspective on your part.
It's interesting. Like, once you begin to grasp this concept. Like, if I can just explain the basic concept of the book in a way. The book is called The Heart Doctrine. And what we can see is that the past century of modern science has been based on, like, a materialist viewpoint and a Darwinian notion of what human beings are, that we're only higher primates and we have no soul or spiritual nature. And that's been the predominant thrust in the educational system for over a century. And there's been every effort made to undermine and devalue religions and to present religions, to brainwash the public to thinking that religions are the kind of cause of the conflicts in the world, okay, which has been a complete deception. Like now, this kind of war against Muslims, I mean, it's a complete deception. It's a complete fraud. And we do face religious fanaticism in the world, but it's, Zionist, dark Kabbalist and Satanist influences. Not the problems of humanity are not between Christians and Muslims and Jews. And the Heart Doctrine teaching, the basic idea is that human consciousness originates out of the heart, and that is where a human being's real I is. And this teaching, the Heart Doctrine, is in all the different religions. It's in the Islamic tradition and Sufism. It's in Hinduism. It's in Christianity and Judaism. So the Heart Doctrine, this teaching that the origin of consciousness emerges out of the heart, and that is how we know God, through the heart, that's common to all the religions. And I think that's really important. Those of us of different religious persuasions, we need to come together, people of heart, on the earth today, to face this satanic monster that's upon us. And in a way, what we see in the Satanism of these people is their complete lack of heart, their complete lack of empathy or feeling for other people or the planet or human life. Anything. It's like in every aspect of life they've served to degrade human beings.
Yes.
Every aspect. You know, they've degraded the medical system, they've degraded education, they've degraded the environment, they've turned our police and military into treasonous. You know, our military and police are treasonous through their actions, that they've allowed this to go on in our countries. So there's been a kind of degradation of every aspect of human life, and we're facing that now. It's kind of gone on for so long. I was so asleep to it myself until really only quite recently.
Yes, I agree with you. And you know what comes to mind, Christopher, if I may say so? This is still my show. No, I'm just kidding you. We use words. When we say something, we speak out of turn, or we interrupt, or we cause distress in another person, we tend to use terms like, I'm sorry. And really, the word sorry is, as an adjective, is quite degrading of the human being, of mankind, in a sense. We're taught to apologize. And it struck me one day, where would the word apologize come from? Would that be a secret or a mystical tribute to the sun god Apollo, and that the spelling was modified to disguise the word Apollo in apologize or apology? And I looked at different ways of saying I'm sorry or I apologize. For instance, it wasn't my intention to cause you distress, or it wasn't my intention to be rude to you. Now, that's making a positive statement, and it's certainly, let's say, aligning one's thoughts and recognizing intention. So if it wasn't your intention, then modify your intention. And you don't have to deal with this self-degradation, you see? we pick this up, and it's considered social etiquette, right? We're expected when we err to make apologies without really understanding this mystical word that only appears when we're degrading ourselves. And the word sorry, although sorry is a form of regret, when we say, I'm sorry, we're using an adjective, but we're describing the verb, I regret, if you follow what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, the general point particularly is how these subtle things have been incorporated into our language and the meaning of them hidden. I mean, I think a good example is the use of amen, introduced at the end of Christian prayers, and then it turns out that amen is like this Egyptian god and goes back to Egyptian sun worship. And that's kind of been brought into our religion. And there's so much of our culture that, as you say, that's had these hidden elements in them to degrade mm-hmm. us or to deceive us in different ways.
Yes. Now, the reason I brought that up is because my heart doesn't yearn to pay tribute to the sun god Apollo or to recognize the sun god Apollo in any manner of my speech. I have no interest in that. But it's something culturally we're taught. And then when we're taught about the so-called mystical or mythical gods in mythology, Neptune and Poseidon and all of these characters that are passed on to us, taught to us as if it's just myth and it's not real, really they're talking about beings that at one time were revered for one reason or another. Maybe they were worshipped. Maybe they existed. Maybe they were alien beings that came here. And because they had to hide the truth from us, they had to make this blanket declaration. While we're taught the brilliance of Homer and Socrates and Plato, we're not supposed to question the very characters that they wrote about or that the Greek society wrote about, as if somehow they just made all this stuff up. Was that the precursory to Hollywood, you know, several thousand years ago? I mean, we don't think these things through because we're following the mental training, the mind control that they call education. And so we don't know otherwise unless we've searched on our own independently. Everyone I know that has come to exhibit some sort of spirituality throughout my life has begun that path on their own. And I bet you would say the same thing about yourself.
Well, I was lucky to grow up in a very good Christian family where the parents really embodied the Christian teaching, so I was exposed to that when I was young. But then by the time I got to university, was then kind of conditioned by existentialism and Marxism and things like that, which were brought into our educational system so much. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of lost my faith, and, you know, I kind of came to believe in science. But then it was the studies of consciousness which then led me, and I had various psychical experiences and being out of my body and other types of experiences that convinced me of the reality of something beyond the physical body. So that began a whole new education, and then for the last 30 years I've studied the esoteric and occult traditions, all of which is outside. You get none of that within the educational system. None of it. It's hidden from people.
Yeah, well, I was implying that when you embarked upon this path of studying consciousness and the various religions, that this wasn't like you sitting down with a bunch of people saying, hey, guess what I'd like to do, and I'd like you all to join me. Let's start exploring these other religions. You kind of felt compelled to do that on your own, didn't you?
Yeah, I started with something called the Gurdjieff Fourth Way Teaching. And the main idea in that is how unconscious and asleep and mechanical humanity is, and how people do not know their true self. And we have to escape from this sleepwalking condition. It's like Plato's analogy of being in an underground cave and you take the shadows to be the reality. So we have to kind of wake up and attain consciousness. So that kind of began my venture, and almost 10 years of working with that teaching. And then I was introduced to, remember Swami Prabhupada and Krishna consciousness?
Yes.
And I read the Bhagavad Gita, and the thing that most stood out about that, in the Gita, Lord Krishna says, I am the self seated in the hearts of all living beings. And I kind of realized, wow, that's what mystics are actually saying, that our self and consciousness originate out of the heart. And that, because at the time I was all into Western psychology, where everybody assumes that the brain produces consciousness in the head. So I call that the head doctrine. And then it was really through the Bhagavad Gita and Vedic studies that I really began to realize, wow, these mystics are saying, you know, consciousness originates out of the heart. How could that be true? What would that mean? And so it was from there that led to study of Blavatsky's secret doctrine and Kabbalistic teachings and Sufism, you know, so it just led me deeper and deeper into the esoteric traditions.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but implying that most people that I know that embarked upon a self-study and of course any serious study of consciousness are going to do so on their own, at least in the beginning. It's not like someone says, "Here, let me show you where the truth is." You sort of stumble upon it, or maybe you're guided. You know, whether it's your higher self or it's a another aspect of the universal oneness of the universe and its impact on your consciousness directly. Because as soon as you demonstrate that you are reaching out to the universe to understand it, it complies.
Yeah, that it's amazing how you have such remarkable coincidences when you're seeking out some answer or something, and how things come to you. It's a remarkable process.
Yeah. Now, Christopher, I wanted to at least start off like we did here, because we could spend several shows just talking about one particular religion or one particular aspect of developing one's consciousness. But in light of what we've said so far now, when one's heart is open and one is listening to the news, let's say listening to something about a tragic event, the thing on everybody's mind right now is what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico with this oil catastrophe that they keep calling a spill. It is not a spill, and it's being compounded by toxic dispersants, which are being added to the oil, which is not just on the surface, but spewing out a mile down in great force. And it's basically filling up the Gulf of Mexico and working its way to the shoreline. Now, a lot of people are in fear about what's going to happen, for one thing. And that we're not trying to create fear here. We're trying to get people to sense what's being said and what is true about what is being said and what we're not being told. Because we can take action when we have facts, you see. And the facts present themselves to us automatically, don't they?
Well, it's complex because we don't get the facts through the media. I mean, the truth seekers have to kind of put things together, and the media is always deceptive. I mean, they deceive the public.
I
think this is terrible, terrible. I mean, Mother Earth, I see oil as the blood of Mother Earth. I've always had that view of the oil. is the blood of the Mother Earth, and the Mother Earth is hemorrhaging all this kind of vital fluids and that blood in the earth. You know, it eases the tensions between tectonic plates, and, you know, and that now you have this massive eruption. I mean, this is catastrophic, and I think the, you know, Dr. Ott compares it to, you know, Revelations 8:8, when the third angel sounds the trumpet, and there's a mountain of fire in the oceans, and the third of the earth's waters turned to blood, and I mean, this is absolutely catastrophic what's happening, and it's not in sight of them being able to stop the leakage even, let alone deal with the unbelievably massive amount of oil already released. And then they're using these toxic substances which simply take these poisons to the bottom and kill all the sea life on the seabed.
Yes.
You know, they don't deal at all. Like, it's like the government is so criminally irresponsible in everything they do. Everything. You know, and like, there you have like Michael Cassidy and his invention. Like, there, you know, there's so many inventive Americans and industrious people, but the system completely excludes you, and they have their own way of, which is just worsening the whole situation, what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Because with what they're spreading, they'll never retrieve it, and it's going to kill all the life on the seabed. It's terrible. This is absolutely catastrophic what's happening at the moment.
Now,
the possible implications of it there.
Yeah, what I was implying in making that statement and then following up with that question is that, first of all, I don't at all say that we should rely on the mainstream media for the true facts of what's going on. In fact, discernment tells me that they're spinning the story, placing the blame for what's occurred on BP. And I'm not saying BP isn't at all culpable in this thing. After all, it's their well. The point I'm making is that discernment, when one opens up to that path of information, that unseen information, that the feeling of what's going on and the image of what's going on and the understanding that the words we're hearing are not true comes through the heart. I'm being very, very specific now in the point that I'm making. And I hear that in what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying.
I was awakened in my heart, like it happens gradually over years that you can become more and more established in your heart. And I think I had that when I woke up to what was happening on the world scene, which was only like 3 years ago when my son showed me the movie Loose Change. I had no idea of what was going on in the world in a way. I was quite isolated. I had family and was busy in my life. And I was absolutely horrified because I saw, as soon as I saw Loose Change, I knew obviously it was a fraud, you know, and the implications of that we've been intentionally deceived by our governments. You know, we've been intentionally deceived by the media. Like, and then I spent the last 3 years, like, learning through the internet about what's happening in the world. And it just gets worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it is, like, so deviant. I mean, we have nations which are run by criminal gangs, you know. As I said before, perverts, pedophiles, and psychopaths. And you added parasites, which I thought was... you know, it's so tragic. Every aspect of our lives is, and what these people have done to, and not just the Americans, but people around the world, how they've kind of impoverished the world. You see, we've seen this all through Europe, people all around the world. So it kind of waking up to it, and when I did, like, I find now when I turn the TV on, I have the spiritual discernment. I can just see right through these people. Like it's like a joke watching the TV. I see they're just actors and they're hollow inside. They have no heart. You know, mm-hmm. They're pathological liars. That's all it is. It makes me sick really to look at it. You know, So it's like now I have spiritual discernment. I can just cut away. They compare like spiritual knowledge to a sword, because a sword can kind of cut away what's not essential and see what's essential. And that's how I find the mainstream media now. I can just see right through it. I mean, if you want to see what they are doing next, you can turn on the TV because you can see their little play. Because they help even to stage things, and they're all pre-scripted. A lot of this, you see the 9/11 coverage, they were all pre-scripted. You know, they had their experts all lined up. It was, and then they rolled it. And they, mass murder 3,000 people, and they're all scripted, and they carry it off, and they fake everything and hide the evidences and edit things out. You know, they're all part of it. The media, they're all guilty of very serious crimes against the American people.
Now, give them a little bit of time, and they'll blame Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, and the Fort Hood shooter, Nidal Malik Hassan, for this oil catastrophe. Give them the time. They'll figure a way to spin the story in that direction.
It depends who they want to murder next. Like they want to, start this murderous campaign against Iran, or Pakistan. I mean, you had that other hoax in Times Square. It seems another black ops.
Yes. Yeah.
We just had something in Ottawa, Canada. They had a bomb go off downtown bank in Ottawa, capital of Canada. It happened on Tuesday of this week. And I just saw the clip of it, and it's like so phony. And then they blamed it was natives. They're kind of trying to blame it on the native group who objected to the Olympics and the taking of native land in Vancouver. But really, it's so obviously a black op operation to try to bring in more, we need more police and more security and, so this has just happened in Canada. This is our latest black ops.
Yeah. Well, I see indications all the time in my research that Vancouver and Toronto and maybe to a lesser extent Montreal are all involved with the CIA. They have their stooges planted there. They're disinformation agents, and they work in conjunction with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Yeah.
Amongst others. But
and the Mossad. Canada's run by a kind of Jewish Zionist mafia, just like the States is. It's the same people. I mean, it's a complex network of these people.
Well, just one more point I'd like to make. When there's a political campaign going on and people are gearing up for an election, there's the usual pundits that they have on the major news networks. James Carville comes to mind because they actually brought him on CNN with Anderson Cooper. Now, how is he qualified to talk about this oil catastrophe that's occurring? He's not qualified to be honest about what's going on in politics, let alone to talk about that. But yet they have him up there spinning because they figured, well, he's as good as anybody else. He's a spin meister. Let's bring him up and see what he can add to the show. Well, it was nothing but lies and deception from everybody. Now, Anderson Cooper is pushing to blame BP for this, and he went so far as to blame the EPA because there are dispersants that are less toxic. Not non-toxic, less toxic. And on this show and on Dr. A. Truat's show, we brought forth a solution from Dr. Mike Castle, a product which has two names, Arrowhaz and Amerihaz. And it's a powder that you can spray over the oil slick and it solidifies. It picks up all the toxins, turns it into a solid. It floats, doesn't sink. It floats, and you can scoop it up and extract the oil later on. There's a special steaming process that releases the oil later on. So not only can they clean up the water with this, they can remove the oil, and they can retrieve it at the same time. Do all those things with one single product. But what do they do? And they ran a story this evening about another sort of dispersant. It's a surfactant that breaks up the oil. And they say, well, it has to be used with some sort of a biological or remediation treatment. So you have to be able to get this to break down. But they claim that the bacteria in the ocean will eat this up. It'll eat the oil up. Well, if, you know, we're hearing out of one side of their mouth that we're in peak oil. And then the other side of their mouth that you've got millions of gallons of oil spewing out and nobody seems to be concerned about doing anything but knocking it to the bottom of the ocean floor, like you said, which is going to contaminate the water, kill all the life. And ultimately, what impact is that going to have on people? You see, just regular discernment we're talking about here, okay? Not paying attention with our minds, but letting our hearts speak to us and tell us what's true about this. What aren't they telling us? And the things that come forth in me and you and others that really are passionate about this topic is their feelings about how this earth is being destroyed.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to care about anything but their money.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You're free to comment, however you...
Well, I mean, it's just so true. These people want to destroy America. They will destroy America. They're doing it now. I mean, it's what is it that people would fly airplanes all over the United States spraying aluminum, barium, heavy metals, viral matter, carcinogens on the American people coast to coast? And this is even being done by your own militaries doing this. Now, really, this is biological terrorism. They're poisoning the American people. And the American people are suffering for it. You've got so many people with Alzheimer's and respiratory illnesses. And they experiment with these spraying. They can introduce new substances. You know, this biological warfare is being perpetrated now against the American people. And you got all your military all over there invading the Middle East, and no one's protecting the American people. I mean, it's just so astonishing that you actually have your own military taking part in poisoning the American people. You know, and this is they don't mind. They want to, you know, they blew up, I believe they blew up Katrina. They blew up the locks, you know, to let the sea in. I believe that. They, you know, they don't mind. They destroyed this Gulf Coast of the U.S. and blocked the passage of transport up the Mississippi and, you know, destroyed the food supply and, you know, they can herd all those people into FEMA camps. And these are psychopaths. These are psychopaths who there's no limit to their perversion and cruelty and lack of feeling for humankind. So, and I see that in the way they go about, they're not earnestly trying to deal with this as they should. You know, I think it would be very interesting to investigate who put shorts on these companies who are supplying these ingredients that they're trying to use to stem the flow of oil or deal with the flow of oil. Do you know, did that ever turn out correct about Goldman Sachs putting shorts on BP?
That's where the fingers were pointed. In fact, there was an email from a Goldman Sachs employee to his girlfriend talking about how they were going to make a bunch of money with one catastrophic event in the Gulf of Mexico with an oil company.
I didn't know was that a satire, because then I saw on that article it said satire, and I didn't know if that was really legitimate or not.
No, they put that wasn't the only source of that information. First of all, you put that word up there, and then somebody, you know, it cast the doubt, you see? It has that impact. Every sign here, there were put options. We know put options were placed on Transocean Limited. Transocean Limited is Mark Rich's company in Zug, Switzerland, and in Houston, Texas. Mark Rich was the bag man for George H.W. Bush in the Watergate scandal. He was in prison, and Bill Clinton gave him an 11th hour pardon right before he left office. Okay. He worked for Dresser Industries. Dresser Industries is the company that brought George Bush to Texas. He didn't ride in a Studebaker, like they say in his biographies. They flew him in on a corporate jet. So what they tell us in history and what really happened are two different things. Because I eventually disclosed the fact that he wasn't George Bush. He was George Scherf.
Scherf?
Scherf, yes.
Oh.
That's in my article, Deathbed Confessions, Photos Support Claims that George H. Scherf, Jr. was the 41st U.S. president.
Wow.
That was published in the Idaho Observer, January 2007. April, the Watergate article was January of 2007. April, May, and June of 2007, that article ran. It was a huge, huge piece.
I mean, it's just astonishing. You know, your work and the whole truth movement just reveals layer upon layer of lies and deceptions all through our histories. You know, we've been deceived for the last century.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, it goes beyond a person's mind to discover these things. And the whole reason I'm bringing this up is there's a pattern here. You can point the finger at who's behind this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The same people are involved with this oil rig. Halliburton, Dick Cheney. Was Dick Cheney playing a role in 9/11?
He sure was.
He was, okay? This not another false flag event? Again, diverting attention from all the financial corruption that's going on in the world, to the tune of trillions of dollars. When I came out in 2005, 2006, telling people about all the theft that was going on, they said I was nuts. Now they throw the figure trillion out there like it's popcorn. You know?
Yeah, isn't it something like at least $25 trillion that have been taken by the banksters through the bailouts over the...
The bailout was that was window dressing. That wasn't even the candle on the cake. The Federal Reserve and the Treasury are upside down, basically to the tune of $5.5 quadrillion.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
As of September 2008, we knew that there were at least $667 trillion. In bogus derivatives and hedge funds on the market. And then as time went by and people started really tracing all the bank accounts and all the theft that was going on, they could see it was much, much more than that. You know, there's somebody sent me this morning a list of the wealthiest people in the world, and they had the Queen of England owning... having something like $30 billion, I think. Or was it $3 billion?
Really?
No, take it back. I misspoke. It was about $300 million is what they said.
Oh.
Okay. Now, she loaned Michael C. Cottrell $6.2 trillion. His Pennsylvania investments. This was to kickstart the U.S. economy. $6.2 trillion, and it was stolen by the central banks in New York. Now, how does a person who only has the wealth of several million dollars loan someone $6.2 trillion? You see, I mean, and they put this trash out there for people to read. She's listed as the 13th wealthiest person out of the most influential world leaders. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, the media, they're designed to hide the crimes of the elites, and they do it. I mean, the American public who are sitting in front of their TVs are subject to continual propaganda and misinformation, and it's gone on for so many years. It's pretty horrifying to really wake up and realize that, you know, the criminal governments we have and how our whole system has become corrupted. I mean, and it's so amazing because, like, it's like, where are the police? Like, when the Dr. Ott shows one day, they started saying, why aren't these people in jail? Like, why aren't these people in jail? That should be resounding around the planet. People calling out, why aren't these people in jail? Like in Greece, for instance, where these people in Greece, they should take it before a court in Greece that they want an investigation of the IMF and the people they owe all this money to. They want investigation of them for terrorist activities. And if the IMF and these other global groups can be shown to have been involved in terrorist activities, well, then the debt to the people of Greece, they should seize the assets of those terrorists, so they eliminate their debt to the IMF, and they seize all the assets in Greece owned by the IMF, because the IMF is a terrorist organization that sponsors terrorism around the world. So well, people around the world, if they wake up, they refuse to pay the IMF, and because to pay the IMF is really to support terrorism in the world, because you're paying the funds to a terrorist organization.
Yeah, it's a cabal of corrupt organizations. You have the World Court, like you said, the IMF, the Bank for International Settlements. Who are they bowing down to? The Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers?
I mean, I think it goes into the City of London and the Illuminati, and then there's a whole hierarchy of, you know, through the round table groups, the CFR and Trilateralists and the Bilderbergs. It's kind of like all of them, but even within those organizations, there are different levels within those organizations, you know, and people are at lower levels aren't really informed about the worser agenda of what they're involved in. I mean, it's a complex thing, you know, and how does it all tie into the Vatican and the Jesuits? I mean, that's another whole factor. And then you have the Zionists and the Black Cabalists and the Satanists. I mean, it's a complex international network of psychopaths.
Yeah, and you've got all the secret societies, Skull and Bones, the Freemasons, the OTO operating in Southern California. You have Opus Dei and the Jesuits controlling the Vatican.
Yeah.
You know, is this knowledge that we gain by thinking through our head, or do we come to this understanding by operating through the heart? I say it's the latter, actually.
I think we have to have a heart to stay in it and try to be brave through it all. I see courage comes from French for la cour, for heart. And courage means having a new heart. I think, you know, a lot of people, they can't deal with it. They have to turn away from the truth. They can't handle it. But those of us who stay in it and seek out the truth, in a way, we have to have heart. I mean, we do it because we have heart. Because we care for our fellow human beings, because we care about seeing the children murdered through these war crimes of our nations, you know, because we care for the planet, because we have heart, these people are soulless. In a way, I believe they've lost their souls or sell their souls, and I actually believe they're possessed through hyperspace dimensions, that they actually lose their souls. They're soulless creatures. There's something alien. They're not fully human. I mean, that's part of what psychopathy is, and these people are psychopaths.
Yes. In your work and the people that you dealt with, and I understand probably you, as far as your work in the prison system, counseling many of the prisoners, you dealt with people who were there, at least they were charged with a crime. Now, whether they committed those crimes, whether they were pure of heart or not, How would you compare those people in general to the people that call themselves the elite, the people that are acting as world leaders? How would you compare those two types of personalities in a general sense?
The fellows I worked with in the prison system, they had more heart and compassion and sympathy than these elites. These elites really are the most degenerate, degenerate of types. In the prisons, most of the guys aren't psychopaths. You know, they just have a bad background of abuse and parental drug abuse and things like that, and you can understand it. And in a way, they're hurt through their life experiences, and they can't deal with that anger, and it leads to addictions and so on. But they're not psychopathic in the way the elites are, who are kind of brought up and they have everything they want, and they're sexualized from an early age, and they're subject to incest and pedophilia and homosexuality, and they go through these type of degrading, conditioning experiences, and they grow up in that. So these people are severely pathologically disturbed, much more so than the people in the prisons. I mean, I would much rather associate with the fellows in the prisons than the Rockefeller types.
Mm-hmm.
There's something alien to these people. There's something not human about them. Whereas the fellows in prisons generally are people. You see all the petty things people are put in prisons for. You know, the police don't capture the real criminals in our society. Hey, you got all this war on terror, but they haven't caught one of the terrorists who did 9/11, which is like so obvious, like who did it and who was involved. You know, it's just amazing. And they, you know, torture all these poor Muslim men around 9/11 as though they had anything to do with it. I mean, it's just so astonishing that, you know, the CIA and FBI and NSA, it's like these are completely corrupted organizations controlled by these psychopaths. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tragic. So we have no, like, why the truth movement? Why is it we as ordinary citizens, which are crying out for justice and to learn the truth, while all these agencies are paid billions of dollars of taxpayers' money, and they do nothing for the peoples? You know, they're allowing the peoples to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. It's so astonishing, the world situation. It reminds me of the Lord of the Rings epic story, and we'll have to see how it turns at the Two Towers. The book three is Return of the King, which I would see as a return of righteousness on earth. The restoration of, like, the, you know, our nations, they're completely criminal. Like, these criminal wars in the Middle East, you know, mass murdered millions of people. You know, it's so terrible what's been done, and the deceits. I don't think ever in world history has there been such a broad awakening to what's really been underlying these problems of humanity through the past decades. So we are in a unique time because these people are being exposed, and this is a worldwide movement of people waking up to the crimes of our governments.
Yes. Now, if you were to take an Eastern perspective of what, let's say, the fellow that ends up in prison because of an action or a deed that he committed, or may not have committed, could be because of something that he said, could have been just the scapegoat for some perverted crime committed by one of these psychopathic perverts that you described. Do you think in an Eastern sense that those without a soul are outside of the karmic spectrum? Now, I understand the full meaning of karma. Don't get me wrong. I know that eventually these people are going to have to pay for the crimes that they commit against mankind. What I'm getting at is that because they are so heartless, and I agree with you, they don't have souls. Because if they did, they wouldn't be acting like they're acting. or they're just totally brainwashed and mind controlled themselves by some other entity outside of them, you see, which we've talked about quite a bit on this show. If you want to call them reptilians, fine. Do they take, as far as you know, do they see any karmic debt for their actions, or they figure just like the laws that they break, the ones they create for us and they break themselves, they're beyond karma or outside of the consequences of karma?
Well, I would definitely say they're not outside of the consequences, but I think they likely think that they are, because they think they're so smart and so clever, and they don't believe in anything deeper. Like, most people have a conscience, which has to do with the condition of the heart, but these people, in a way, don't. So, but they will be subject to karma. I mean, I believe that they're drawn into hell worlds because they're possessed, so their soul survives in a way, but they're drawn into lower dimensional hell worlds where they're subject to kind of torturous conditions and enslaved. So I believe they pay in their afterlife conditions for the things they've done.
Yeah.
But I think they think they're above it all, and yeah.
There are those that would like to see them begin paying for it now in this dimension, you know?
Well, you know, I read in Blavatsky, it says, like, what is white magic? And she says, like, black magic is where you perform magic and it's for egoic reasons, like you want to acquire wealth or sexual experiences or things. So black magic, we have an idea of black magic. But what she says white magic is trying to invoke higher powers to bring down someone's karma upon themselves. Like what I'm trying to get at, say for instance, I wouldn't consider it appropriate. Say I wanted to pinch Dick Cheney's heart valve a little bit. And Gurdjieff said that, you know, a person should be able to kill a yak at 20 miles. Okay, well, suppose we just wanted to pinch off Dick Cheney's heart valve for a few moments, okay? And we might try to do that as a psychical thing. Okay, that would be black magic in a way. But to try to beseech God to have mercy upon us and help us deal with these problems in the world and to make the higher will be done on earth as it is above, and to ask, to beseech God to bring down these people's karma upon themselves. That's what I think we, in our prayers, are wanting. We're wanting divine help to bring these people's karma down upon themselves. And their karma, like, sorry?
It's merely a matter of them being accountable for their actions.
Yeah, well, I mean, if their karma was brought down upon them, their fortunes would be stripped, they'd be put in FEMA camps, and they'd face public trials for all the crimes they've committed against humanity. And all of this would be exposed. And I believe that would set off a rapture around the world if people were freed of these tyrants. We've never had a period in modern history, in any known history, where we've been free of these groups and psychopaths and aliens and such. We've never known what it would really mean to have the freedom. And if humankind, I believe this, I mean, I don't know, we're in a very precarious times. I'm still hopeful that these people are gonna, their assets can be seized around the world for their terrorist activities, because now we know who the real terrorists were. They wasn't Muslims. And when they're radical Muslims, they're usually set up by these people anyway, because they fund both sides of conflicts.
Mm-hmm. Which is exactly the case. I mean, you're 100% right. I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm sure many of the listeners know that as well. After your show earlier this month, Christopher, I got a flood of email and talked to a lot of people that were really moved by what you had to say and just the general discussion that came out, because I've been saying this on other shows where I'm a guest and I talk about these topics quite a bit. I had a really good show with Jim Murray last Friday, and we talked about all kinds of things, but basically we were speaking from the heart, okay?
Yeah.
We were speaking the truth the best we knew how. I don't know if you caught that show.
I did.
But we were still reeling from all the communications we got from your past show. And Jim and I just knew that we were going to continue talking about that subject. We didn't plan anything. We just agreed to agree. And that flow, that natural flow of information through the heart came through. And I saw Jim open up, even though he's a scientist and an inventor, he's a very, very sensitive, feeling human being. He's very passionate about the creation, and he honors it in his work. And, you know, he gets his inspirations in science and in invention from the Creator. He gets it from God, and I'm not talking about the evil demon that they worship down here. I'm talking about the Creator. He honors the creation, and that certainly came through in the message, especially in his closing. The man's spirit touched many people all over the world.
Yeah.
And I'm still getting mail about it and comments about it. You know,
I loved his story about the dog. Hey, where the dog was seeming to be drowned, and he kind of like, I forget exactly, but just somehow all of a sudden he turned around and the dog was back up on the dock.
Yes.
And it was like he prayed or something in him connected to the universe to somehow save that dog. I think we in the truth movement, in a way, we need to try to be using white magic in a way ourselves, because the elites, they use black magic, and we need to be empowered ourselves spiritually and to be, you know, I pray now in a way I never used to, and beseech God and try to give us strength and, you know, restore justice on this planet, and having remorse for the things we've allowed to be done in our nations. I think we all need to be going through this spiritual cleansing ourselves and coming to be empowered.
Yes, we and I keep saying that we must tap into our higher powers too. And I've been sharing some very basic elementary solutions that people can practice that really have a tremendous impact on things like chemtrails and all of this HAARP created weather. I got a call early today from Jim Murray asking me for a link to a live Doppler radar site anywhere, so he could look at the storms that were approaching the area of Oklahoma City where he lives.
Oh yeah.
And I said, well, I can send you the map, and I'll do that. Why don't you just command the storms not to come?
Yeah.
And I got a call from him this evening, a couple hours before showtime, telling me that he did that, and the storm went to the north of the city and the south of the city. They were predicting the worst series of tornadoes in the history of Oklahoma City.
That's amazing. I mean, it's like the experience you recounted of what had happened to you in the week before, and where you even got confirmation of the storm changing directions on the TV afterwards.
Yes.
As I recount. And yeah. I've had similar experience of what it seemed to me was being able to quell a storm, like being in it and able to quell it. It's interesting. We need to be exploring these things. We do have these powers somehow. We have to kind of come into them. And
yeah, it's a very simple process. You just intend and declare, okay? You make the declaration with all of your being. You make that declaration. And I was very emphatic. You know, if my neighbors heard what I said, they probably would have thought I was nuts. I sort of chuckled, went back into the house. And then I saw on the radar, I saw a big swath of the storm that was coming through. The whole state actually moved away. Just and broke up and became totally impotent. Now, Jim Murray called me early this morning telling me that he was concerned about his car. He was concerned about really what was about to approach because they were predicting softball-sized hail.
Wow.
He said, we didn't even get one drop of rain. I did exactly what you suggested I do.
Wow. Wow.
Okay? So it's not like we have some kind of mystical power. This is how we were made, isn't it? This is how God created us to be.
Why, I would say it is a mystical power because I think we have latent mystical powers. And
well, yeah. in a sense, but I'm saying it's available to everyone.
Yeah, you're saying you're meaning by mystical that you're saying like it's scientific, it's real. That's what you're implying. Like it's not just mystical, or but it's real. It's a real powers that we can have and cultivate. I believe that. Sometime I'll share some of the things that happened to me, the kind of mystical experiences I had when I woke up to all of this, and a series of very unusual kind of paranormal experiences that happened to me.
Well, I know in your book, in a roundabout way, you're not talking about the very topics that we're discussing. You get into some very, very deep discussions about the different perspectives of what the soul is, and the different names for the soul, and the people that study different aspects of consciousness, and how it applied to their religion, and their spiritual writings, and how really it's available to anyone that wants to open their heart and let that come in through the most natural way. Like you said, all of these religions have a common denominator, and that's recognizing the true nature of man and how man can communicate with the Creator effortlessly.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and that centers on the heart. That centers on the mysteries of the human heart. Because in a way, we've been lied to, we've been deceived, and we haven't understood. Even in our religious traditions, these elites have degraded the Christian and Jewish and Islamic traditions in a way. They've hidden the esoteric side from us of these teachings. And we need to come to a deeper understanding of the heart and the nature of the human soul. And I believe that we have these latent faculties of higher consciousness.
Now,
it's a scholarly book. It's a difficult book. Like you say, for listeners, the book doesn't focus on the political things in the world. The book is a scholarly effort to look at the heart doctrine as a scientific idea and explaining like all the enigmas about consciousness in modern science, how it's a complete mystery.
Yes, and you quite skillfully actually present both sides of the argument that are there, the methods used to dumb down the populace and to really cut off the connection to the heart center.
Yeah.
In essence, that's what's being done. And it disempowers a person in many ways, in their speech, in their intuition, and in their independent thinking capacity, because they can only function as, their brain is functioning as sort of like a hard drive connected to a computer system. You feed the data into the computer and you let the hard drive know what you want it to have access to, and it can only respond when it's talked to or addressed. And so the methods that are used to control the consciousness of mankind, and really it's about stifling the consciousness.
Yeah.
Or directing the consciousness to operate out of fear through the subconscious. You see, what is, you know, subconscious is that which we are not aware of in a conscious way. Now, that sounds
in a way.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, in a way, I would say our true consciousness has passed into our subconscious. So most people aren't aware in their true consciousness. It's kind of gone into the subconscious, and they form a false consciousness system, which is centered in the mind, and all the conditioning and all these artificial influences that have conditioned their minds. So that's a false consciousness system. Like the one yogi defines self-realization as the dissolution of the false mind into the lotus of the heart. And I think that's really important, is, you know, all this media and conditioning, the educational system, all has created this false conditioning in the mind, false ego, false personality. And we have to break that down and get back to feeling awakened in our own heart. And if we're awakened in our own heart, I believe the self within the heart is self-illuminating, and that illuminates our mind, and then we can attain to higher faculties of the mind through the awakening of the heart.
Yes. Well, we have, you used the word ego. I was, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is the false I.
Yeah.
Really.
That's how I see it. The false ego is centered in the mind, in the head, in your conditioning, and that's your false I.
Now,
it's like, and you wake up to, it's like everything we've been taught for the past 50 years through the media and education, it's all been based on lies. You know, we believed that we lived in democracies, we believed there was social justice, we believed that our police served us, you know, we believe the military served us, you know, all of these things have been based on lies. Everything, it's these elites have kind of degraded every aspect of our society and culture and environment systematically.
Well, isn't this accomplished through illusion?
Yes, yeah, which is false mind. In yogic traditions, the mind in the head is compared to the moon, because the moon has no light of its own. It only reflects the light of the sun. And the heart is described as the sun of the body, because the self within the heart is described as inherently self-illuminating, like the sun. So the mind in the head is the basis for illusion, and mystics relate it to the moon. And in a way, these people, they fostered this lunacy, this false knowledge of the mind. I read an interesting quote today. I was reading a book by David Icke. He says, "Oh, God, save us from religion." I thought that was a funny quote. Like, there's so much truth to it, eh? Because what the real meaning of religion has been lost. It's been degraded. You know, it became, that organized churches became so corrupted. Like, how come Christians, where are the Christians, you know, in America? Like, these people who care for their brother and believe thou shalt not kill, and yet all these Christians support these terrible wars which are being perpetrated. You know, it's like the Christians today in the mainstream, it's, well, how does Christ describe them? They're lukewarm, and he'll spew them out, something like that. It's like all this false teaching has come into the churches, you know, and they're more concerned about prosperity consciousness than they are about the life of the planet or their brothers and sisters around the world. It's very disheartening. It's disheartening to wake up to the world situation.
Yeah, I see organized religion as a methodology used to bind people into a belief system. In the sense that most people think religion is, they think it's the practicing of their faith, when in reality, the religion itself is based upon certain premises, foundational premises, that must be followed to maintain one's participation within the organization. one can be religious without being in a group of people, in the true sense of what religion is intended to mean, as a system of faith or a system of worship. But it's through the dogma that's taught, the rules of the religion, if you want to use that term.
Yeah.
It creates a sense of an obligation or a reverence, an expectant reverence. And in other words, I think you can revere your father or your mother, and certainly you can revere God or any son of God that came as a prophet to teach God's word. There were many, and all of them were murdered. Throughout history, all the prophets that came to speak and raise the consciousness of mankind, and deliver God's word in that time period, always had to deal with those that did not want that to occur. That the ones that weren't going to tolerate it, they were all murdered, every single one.
Well,
that certainly tells you what happens when one stands alone and as a messenger and comes forth to undo all this insanity. But there are things that are happening now throughout the universe. There's a consciousness, an energy. It's unseen, yet people see the results of what's happening. The truth is being revealed about the corrupt history. The truth is being revealed about the corruption that goes on amongst the leaders of the world governments. And the truth about what the real cause of war is. I think, you know, until this time, people probably never questioned why countries were at war on this planet. Until these recent times. Do you feel that way too?
Oh, absolutely, because never before have we realized so clearly what false flag events are. Like, we see it, 9/11 awoke people up in a way they went too far, because, you know, you realize 9/11 was a fraud, and then you realize, oh, the London train bombings, another fraud, you know, and then Oklahoma City, another fraud, Gulf of Tonkin, another fraud. You realize all these wars are based on lies and intentional deception of the American people. Like, American people are a good people, but what have they sponsored? They've sponsored the military now with 700 military bases all around the world, you know? And the American people believed this was all to spread democracy, but now we're realizing it was all based on lies, and you've become the enforcers for the world's elite who want to enslave humankind. You know, everything's been based on lies, and now people all around the world are waking up. I mean, we need military and police. We need for them to turn in their ranks. This is how we need to undo what's been done here. We, you know, we need Smedley mm-hmm. Butler, is it?
Yeah, Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, the great great uncle of Drew Malone Raines, who's
Drew's uncle, eh? Yeah. See, we need heroes within our military and the Navy who say, hey guys, why are we letting the American people be poisoned through chemtrail spraying? You know, the people who are doing this are terrorists. You know, they should be arrested and they should be have trials This whole chemtrail, you know, this is biological terrorism. You know, the terrorists are in our society. And the police, you know, we need the police to turn and to start arresting these people. Why aren't they in jail? You know, like, I mean, you got this huge FBI and CIA and they can't figure out 9/11? Like, excuse me, you know, why aren't these people in jail? You know, why don't these forces and the police and the military serve the people of the United States? You know, we just have to, I guess in my work I try to appeal to people through the heart a little bit to turn in their hearts. because I think a lot of people became involved in this, but really didn't know what they were getting into, and then they're trapped, and then they're blackmailed and intimidated and so on. But I think people around the world can turn and take back our nations from these psychopaths.
Yes. Well, Christopher,
we know who they are. Like, it's, you know, there's so many scholars who have kind of put the pieces all together. You know, you could prove the terrorist activities of these groups in any court anywhere in the world.
Yeah, if you didn't have a corrupt justice department.
Exactly. Yeah, the judiciary is corrupted, the police are corrupted, the military is corrupted. You know, the whole system has been based on deceit and delusion.
Ultimately, it all boils down to the people taking the responsibility. And we have to wrap. I want to give you the opportunity maybe to suggest what people might do to awaken. Certainly, I want to encourage people to invest in your book. It's worthwhile. It'll open them up. And I can see this freeing a lot of people from the Matrix as well, because you cannot read this and not open your heart. You actually affect that change in a person reading this. And I think at any level, to the extent that one devotes time to reading and understanding what you've written, I think they're going to open their heart proportionately. And
Yeah, I hope so. And there's practical aspects to the book. And as I go about my life, I practice something called self-remembering based on the Gurdjieff teaching, which means that whenever I remember to during my day, I try to bring my attention back to being here now and aware of what's going on within me and around me and cultivating that wakefulness in the moment. And what I do is I tap myself over the heart to try to bring my feeling and sensitivity to that part of the body, to try to kind of awaken in my heart. And also people need to work with their breathing, because the word soul also is related to breath, and our soul life's related to our breath. And people hold trauma in by holding their breath. People have to learn to exhale and breathe more deeply, and that helps to ensoul us.
Yes. I agree.
Just to mention, I do have a website at www.zeropoint.ca, and people can buy my books through Amazon is the easiest way for anyone through the States or North America. Thanks very much for having me back, Don. I really appreciate it.
Yes, and I'd like to have you back again. This is a stimulating conversation, and certainly, it brings about healing. I can sense healing going on in people because they're hearing the answers. You have such a lucid and simple way to express your thoughts and your feelings. And I know that you can become angry and disgusted with everything that's going on, yet you have there's a warmth that you exude in your words, and you speak the truth. And I would like the listeners to know that you're not exaggerating anything that you say. It comes from many, many years of study, self-study, and working with other people, helping people solve their own problems or come to grips with why they are where they are in their life. And I think that's a tremendous contribution that you have made, this book. I want to encourage the listeners to get a copy of it, if not several. You can give them to your friends.
Thanks very much, Don. I really appreciate your kind words. And I appreciate you really making the effort to read it and yeah, because you're so busy, you do so much, and you have such interesting investigative things going on at any time. So I felt guilty kind of sending it to you and hoping you might read it, but
no,
you were there.
No reason to feel that way. I take that upon myself, and it's just easy. You just read it. Okay. There's no big deal about it.
Thanks very much, Don, and thank BBS Radio too.
Well, of course, and thank you, and I want to put you on the spot and ask if you'll come back in the month of June.
Please, yeah, anytime.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Then consider it done. We'll just settle on a date.
Okay.
You have a wonderful weekend coming up here. And now, are you on the air this Saturday? Is this your
following Saturday.
Yep. Okay, so you'll be on the following Saturday then. Okay.
Yeah, 29th.
Okay, very good. Well, okay. I want to encourage people to go to bbsradio.com Saturday, the 29th of May. And your show airs what time Eastern?
4 to 6 Eastern.
4 to 6 Eastern. So that is 1 to 3 on the West Coast, 5 to 7 on Central Time Zone, for those of you listening in the middle of the country. Do listen into Zero Point on bbsradio.com. Thank you, Christopher Holmes, and I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints. That wraps it up, folks. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And Dr. Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and blogtalkradio.com for broadcasting this show, either live or in an archive. Also want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight, as well as Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when our special guests will be scientist inventor Jim Murray and polymer chemist and inventor Dr. Michael Castle. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.